this third message out of chapter number 12. Those off? Are they off the monitors? Okay. All right. Romans chapter number 12. Okay. Thus far we've seen that Paul calls for Christians to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and to not be conformed to this world. Tonight we want to look at Paul's admonition found in verse number 2, the second admonition that's found in that verse. He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What does it mean to be transformed? Now, the word transformed means to change into a different form. Change into a different form. It comes from the Greek word metamorpho, where we get our word metamorphosis from. Okay, metamorphosis. You know, when you're in school, you had to study metamorphosis. And it was like they would give the example of a ugly caterpillar, you know, getting in a cocoon, and after a period of time, he emerges as a beautiful butterfly. That was a metamorphosis change. Remember back when the toys came out back in the 1980s, I believe it was, called Transformers. Yeah, and now they're back out again because the movies are out, and they've got movies on Transformers, and so the toys are back out again. And they change from one form into another. That's why they're called Transformers, from one form into another. We use transformers to convert electricity into a different form. You know, convert electricity from alternating current to a direct current or whatever, to come from one certain voltage down to another voltage. What it does is it transforms, it converts it, changes it. And so that's what transform means. But what is the mind? It says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've got a book in my library by Dr. Charles Ryrie, one of my favorite authors. He's an old Southern Baptist out of Texas, but he was of the old school. That's back before there was much fundamental Baptist around. I mean, he was old school. He was fundamental, and you wouldn't know that he wasn't an independent Baptist by listening to him. But it's called Balancing the Christian Life. And let me quote to you from his book on what he says about this word mind. It says, "The words used in the Old and New Testaments for mind express a variety of ideas. The Bible has no word for brain, and therefore the concept of the mind does not mean the physical organ, but the varied functions of intellect, volition, and emotions which are associated with mind in the Scriptures." And so the mind involves our intellect. Okay, you know, we all know what intellect is. It's the thinking process, and involves our emotions, our feelings, and it involves our will, our decision-making process. That's what the mind is. And why does the mind need to be renewed? Because the mind of our old nature, the old man, understand, is still corrupt even after we get saved. So you didn't lose your old nature, you just were given God's divine nature. And now you got to feed that new nature that God has given you, and you've got to say no and put to death every day. Paul talked about mortifying your deeds which are in the flesh. That word mortify means put to death. Romans 8 verse 7 says the carnal mind is enmity against God. So we don't want to walk around with a carnal mind. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians who have subjected themselves to more to the world than they have to God's Word, and consequently their thinking is like the world. Their thinking is carnal. It's not that they're not saved. It's not that they're not born again. And they wind up making wrong decisions, bad decisions, because their thinking is a carnal type of thinking, and that thinking is at enmity with what God says and what God says in His Word. And we all struggle with our thought lives, don't we? I mean, daily we combat thoughts of worry and doubt and fear and lust, evil thoughts, anger, malice, bitterness, and we could go on and on and on with the list of what of what we struggle with in our thought lives. And so we need to be, the mind needs to be renewed because our old nature, the old man, is still corrupt even after we get saved. Second of all, because of the effects of wrong programming. In computer terminology, it would be called GIGO, GIGO. Garbage in, garbage out. What you put in to your mind is what you can expect to get out. That's one of the things that they teach in computer class, isn't it, Brother Williams? Back there, Brother Martin's taking computer classes right now. You're not going to get out any better stuff out of a computer than what you put into it. You put garbage into it, you're going to get garbage out of it. Scientists call the human mind the most complex living mechanism in the world. Understand that our brain is the most influential organ of our body. As it goes, so goes the human body. That's why we take great care to try to protect our head, don't we? And, you know, we want to make sure, you know, that, of course, it kind of amazes me. Some folks get on a motorcycle without a helmet on, and it doesn't show very good judgment, does it? but listen, you know, we try to protect that organ because it's the most influential organ of our body. And as it goes, so goes our body. And I found that out for sure back in 2002, June of 2002, when I had a light stroke. You know, just a little bitty blockage in the brain can do terrible things to your body. Okay, it can make it where you know what you want to say and you can't get the words out. You can't formulate the words. You can't speak. I know firsthand what it will do. It'll get you where you know how to sign your name, but now all of a sudden you can't sign your name. Huh? Yeah, because the brain was affected. The brain's affected. It accounts for our ability to think, to remember, to love, to hate, to feel, to reason, to imagine, and to analyze. Now understand that the average brain weighs about 3 pounds. So if you're looking at cutting your head off to lose weight, it's not a very good idea. You're not going to lose much weight, okay? Just about 3 pounds, and it contains some 12 billion cells. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? It used to be more mind-boggling before the national debt got up so high. But listen, each of those 12 billion cells is connected. Listen, each one of those 12 billion cells is connected to 10,000 other brain cells, and that totals some 120 trillion brain connections. Now, I know the national debt's getting on up there and is approaching that, but that's a lot of connections, isn't it? That's a lot of dollar bills, too. But is it any wonder that scientists have stated that the human brain is the most complex arrangement of matter in the universe? Yet, some scientists want to say, well, it just all happened. It just all fell together. You know, millions and billions of years ago, you know, given enough time, you know, all these chemicals just came together and it just happened, you know, and when we, after all those billions of years, here we are. No, my friend. Somebody made that thing. Just like that computer that you operate, if you were to say that thing just came together, you know, over millions and billions of years, and boy, there it is, right there. You know, they'd take you off in a white coat. You know, into the crazy house because you know, looking at the computer and no understanding what a computer will do, somebody made it, right? This computer, somebody made it, and that one who made it was God. Some have compared the human brain to a sophisticated computer, but technology still hasn't even come close to duplicating its capabilities. According to Dr. Tim LaHaye in his book Mind Siege, the man who holds over 50 patents on the IBM computer, Dr. Gerhard Dirks, said that he acquired most of his inventive ideas from studying the functions of the human brain. And he commented on its complexity. This is what he said, this fellow who had all these patents on the computer. He says, if we could invent a computer that would duplicate the capabilities of the human brain, it would take a structure the size of the Empire State Building just to house it. Our brain supervises everything we do, from the involuntary beat of our heart to the conscious decisions of life. It controls our hearing, our sight, our smell, our speech, our eating, our resting, our learning, our prejudices, and everything else that makes us behave as we do. And our eyes, understand that our eyes and our ears are the primary avenues that receive information that programs our minds and thereby influence our lives. So we need to be careful about what goes into our eye gate and what goes into our ear gate. Amen? It just makes sense. I mean, if that has a great influence on our brain and on our thinking, we need to guard what goes in there. One aspect of the human mind can be illustrated by a file cabinet, because it's the principal place of memory. How many of you got a file cabinet at home somewhere? You got something where you keep all your bills and stuff? I got file cabinets in here, out the kazoo. And I got them organized. You ask me for something, I know where to go get it. And by the way, Brother Anthony, that stuff you asked me for, I got it in my office ready to give to you. I missed on giving it to you this morning, but I did find it in my files. So you see me after the service. But listen, that one aspect of the human mind is illustrated by that file cabinet, because from its files we make our deductions, our judgments, and our decisions. There's a lot of stuff that is in our brain that has accumulated over the years. And what we see and hear influences the thoughts of our mind, and our mind determines our actions. Does that make sense to you? Our mind determines our actions. Everything we see, hear, touch, taste, and smell is recorded on the lobes of our brain, never to be forgotten. For instance, when I say 9/11, what just pops in your mind? Twin Towers, right? And them coming down. The tragedy that happened up in New York. Because that's ingrained in our minds from having seen, having heard about that incident. When I say orange, what comes to mind? Those of you that aren't colorblind. Okay. The color, right? Or maybe you thought of the fruit. Whichever one that something like that popped in your brain. When I say pig pen, what comes to mind? Well, if you worked on a farm like I did coming up, boy, that thing stunk. You know, I used to slop the hogs in the morning before going to school, and those pigs would invariably get some smell on me, you know, and I'd go to school smelling like a hog sometimes, you know, just aggravate the dog out of me. Unclean things, but I love to eat bacon and ham, amen? And sausage, when that man makes it right there. Brother Doug made some good sausage for the men's prayer breakfast, and I can't eat regular sausage, and his sausage didn't mess with me. I didn't have any problems today. Okay, I felt fine all day long, and I'm going to eat your sausage again, okay? Because it's been a long time since I've been able to eat any, and that was some good sausage. Anyway, back to when I say burn, what comes to mind? You just think about it. It brings things to mind, doesn't it? Old people in the nursing homes sometimes rattle on and on subconsciously about events and people that they may have long forgotten consciously about. I mean, when I started out preaching, I started preaching in the nursing homes. That was the first place that I would go preach when God called me to preach. And I preached in the nursing home ministry on a Wednesday every week. We'd gather them together, and some of them would tell you the same stories over and over again every week. You get the same thing. Where was it coming from? It's in the file cabinet. In the file cabinet, and their brain was reaching in that file cabinet every time to repeat that stuff. Now, some information remains in our subconscious files and cannot be recalled at will, as those things are in the conscious section. We know the difference between conscious and subconscious. You know, my memory. I have a very difficult time remembering things. You can ask my wife. Sometimes I have trouble getting. She'll ask me about a conversation I have with somebody or whatever, and I can't get it all straight. And she knows I can't get it all straight. So, you know, she don't hold it against me, especially being bad since I had the stroke. But the conscious memory, some of it doesn't go in there. Now it's in there, but I can't get a hold of it. You know, understand? What I heard, it's recorded in there somewhere. It's just a matter of accessing it. A sight, smell, or sound may draw it back into your conscious thought. You know, I've been walking down the mall before and a certain song played, and boom, it's taking me to a certain place where I heard that song. That happened to you? Ever happened to you? Or a smell? Or a sight of something? It happens all the time. I mean, there's certain songs that play. I took a trip one time to the Panama Canal Zone to pick up my grandmother, who was down there visiting my uncle, and there were certain songs that I heard while I was down there, And if they play one of those at the mall, the first thing that pops in my mind is Panama Canal Zone and what I was doing while I was down there. It's amazing how the mind works. Because everything we see and hear is indelibly recorded in our mind, and the things recorded on our mind influence how we think, and our thinking influences our behavior, it is of utmost importance that we guard our mind. I'm going to say that again, okay? I want you to listen real closely. Because everything we see and hear is indelibly recorded in our mind, and the things recorded on our mind influence how we think, and our thinking influences our behavior. It is of utmost importance that we guard our mind. Remember the serial killer Ted Bundy that caught over in Lake City area of Florida? I believe it's where they caught him at. And he gave an interview with Dr. James Dobson regarding the effect of pornography in his life. Y'all remember that? I know it's been a while back, but he talked about, you know, it had a great influence on him becoming what he became. And he wasn't making an excuse, but he was just saying Dr. Dobson was taking and doing a study on the effects of pornography, and he interviewed Ted Bundy as a part of that. James 1, verse 14 and 15, I quoted it this morning, but I'm going to tell it to you again tonight. It says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You remember the rock and roll music of the 1960s and Fords? Most of us in here can. Okay, they escalated into perverted sex and rebellion and drugs and the occult. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff that we see today are the results of that being recorded on the minds of teenagers back during that time, because those teenagers now are adults. Okay, so they're adults. There are numerous examples of people viewing television programs and movies and then acting them out. And, you know, there are many folks who wouldn't act out what they view, but they're affected by Hollywood's liberal agenda and the worldly agenda there also. You can't be not influenced if you're bombarded day after day after day with the liberal worldly agenda. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this about evil companions. It says, "Evil communications corrupt good manners." And so we need to guard against evil communications, because it's going to corrupt good living in our life. And so the question is tonight, what are you programming your mind with? What are you watching? What are you reading, and what are you listening to? Now, we have a variety of stuff that we have to do. I know some of you probably have to do some reading for your work. You have to view some things for your work. Not a problem with that. But what are you mostly programming your mind with? We need to guard how we program our mind. Why does that mind need to be renewed? Because the mind of our old nature, the old man, still corrupt even after we get saved, and because of the effects of wrong programming. But number three, because of all our lives prior to us coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus, we were pressed into the mold of this world. See, before you came to know the Lord, you had a certain amount of program that was already there. And you can't get it out of the files, okay? What you can do, though, is you can overflow your files with the good stuff. you can put more in. You know, we didn't have the mind of Christ then, and we did whatever we could to try to fit in back during that time. And in the areas where we couldn't fit in, we were devastated. I remember, you know, I wasn't very athletic growing up. I wanted to be. You know, I wanted to be a field goal kicker for Dallas Cowboys. And I couldn't kick a field goal if my life depended upon it. Yeah, you know, I didn't have the leg strength for it. I just didn't have a body that was built to be able to do anything like that. I didn't have a very athletic body. I remember in growing up, I was always the last guy picked. And you know what the last guy picked is, don't you? You know, I'll take Jerry. You know, that means that you're not too much. And, you know, I was under intense pressure to become, athletic, and I couldn't, and it was a source of frustration. And that's the same way, you know, before we knew Christ, we were under intense pressure to live our lives a certain way, and we tried to fit in as best we could. And now, even as we are saved, the world keeps trying to press us into its mold, and there's constant pressure at school, at work, and sometimes even at home. If you have an unsaved spouse or parents, or sometimes it might be in the marketplace. Everywhere we go, the world is trying to press us into the mold, aren't we? Aren't they? I mean, they're trying to do that, and so that's why we need to renew our minds because of these things. So, how do we renew the mind? How do we renew the mind? Look what it says there. It says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how do you renew your mind? Well, you got to recognize the source of renewal. Isaiah 51, verse number 10, says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God's the one that renews our mind. We are not renewed by a determination to be renewed. You know, some folks say, well, you know, I'm just going to turn over a new leaf. Well, I'm glad you got some determination to do that, but that's not good enough. You know, we need to be determined to be renewed for sure, but that's not going to do it alone. We're not renewed by making an outward change, though when we are renewed, it will work itself into some outward manifestations in our lives. We need to surrender our all to God, because He alone can renew us. And listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy what? Mind. We got to love the Lord with all our mind. Say, we surrender our mind to the Lord. And He alone can renew us. And so we recognize the source of renewal. Number two, we visualize the reward of renewal. What's in it for me? Why should I do this? Well, peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You want peace in your life? Well, you got to have your mind stayed upon the right things. You know, there was a period of time when I used to watch news programs constantly, you know, like the 2020 and 48 hours and every news thing that came on, I was watching. And the things that they were putting on there seemed like they were all trying to get you to fear, you know, fear certain things, whatever. And your heart would fill with fear and I'm not saying any of those programs are wrong in and of themselves, but my mind was on those things. And because my mind was on those things, it brought forth a certain thing in my life. And if we're going to keep perfect peace in our life, we've got to have it stayed upon the Lord. Not only that, hope is in our life. You know, that's the reward of renewal. When we have look at the Scriptures, we can say, as Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:21, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. When you're able to recall the words of God, it can give you hope in the midst of a situation in your life that seems absolutely positively hopeless. You know, you think, man, how am I going to get out of this? Well, you know, you lean upon the Lord. He gives you hope. Also, the part of the reward of renewal is proving the will of God. That's what he says there in Revelation 12:2. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By renewing your mind and living out, and when the things that you're renewing your mind with, the Word of God and God Himself helping you renew your mind through His Word, and you live those things out, they affect your behavior, you prove out in your life that God's will is good, that it's acceptable, and it's perfect. Proving the will of God in your life. And becoming like Christ. You know, we're to become like Christ, according to Romans 8:29. You know, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, And so we're predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ. And part of the reward of renewing our minds is the more we renew our minds, the more the mind of Christ that we have, right? It just makes sense. We have the mind of Christ. Recognize the source of renewal. Visualize the source of renewal. Number three, utilize the resources God has given us for renewal. What resources has God given us? Well, we've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside. Amen. John 16:13 says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." And so we ask the Holy Spirit of God, and we yield to the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, and the Holy Spirit of God will take the next resource, the Word of God. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we want to look at several verses here, talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is a major source of renewing our minds. That's why God left us with His Word. He didn't leave us without His Word. He left us with His Word in these end times to be able to renew our minds after we become a child of God. Psalm 119 in verse number 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." How you cleanse your life? Taking heed to the word of God. Excuse me. Verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes." He says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." So we see God's Word there, the hid in the heart, God's Word applied to the mind and delighted in is a source that God has given to us. But not only that, we've been given the avenue of prayer. Jesus said just before He went to the cross, He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and in Matthew 26 and verse 41, He's told His disciples, He says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Remember, the flesh is weak. You might have a willing spirit, but you need to pray because your flesh is weak. And you know, if you got a willing spirit, pray and watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Two things there: watch and pray. And then you have the local church. You know, just as a limb, one of your limbs of your body, your arm, your leg, or any part of your body cannot function properly apart from the life-giving source in the human body, so also a Christian cannot function properly apart from God's local church. I mean, just like embers of a fire. You take a fire, and we used to have a fireplace, and after the fireplace, got a wood stove there at my mom and dad's house, and you know, we used to build a fire, and you would try to keep all that fire together because it was together, it was warmer. And you take and separate something away from the fire that was burning, and what would it do? It would cool off. It cool off and stop flaming, wouldn't it? That's the same way. You know, a person that separates himself from the local church, they're not hot for God. They're not what they ought to be for the Lord, and they cannot function properly apart from God's local church. So we need to utilize the resources that God has given us for renewal, and then we need to replace wrong thinking with right thinking. Wrong thinking with right thinking. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 3. It says here, "For though we walk in the flesh," and we do, we're still in this flesh, He says, "we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And I shared with you, I believe, several weeks ago, what Philippians 4, verse 8 says. It tells us the things that we're to think upon. And, you know, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Fill your mind with the proper thoughts, in the proper thinking. We need to delight in the Word of God. We need to get a grip on the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to hear it. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. We need to meditate on it. I don't think we do as much as we really ought to in this day and time in which we live, because there's so much that bombards our minds. Folks have something constantly going, whether it's the TV or the radio or something, and they don't have the time to meditate upon God's Word, meditate upon maybe a verse that the Lord gives them in the morning and take it with them throughout the day and memorize it like they used to. Let the Word of God get a grip on you. Obey it. Let it affect your thinking. And if it affects your thinking, it will affect your living. Okay, if you get your mind changed to in agreement with the Word of God, it's going to affect the way you live your life. So I ask you tonight, in closing, are you being conformed to this world, or are you being transformed? Okay, just one or the other. Yeah, you're being conformed to the world, or else you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you feeding the flesh, or are you feeding the Spirit? We need to feed the Spirit, don't we? It's so easy to feed the flesh. There's so much to feed the flesh on. But let's take time to feed the Spirit. Quit dabbling in the world and get serious about having your mind renewed so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. Amen? If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to come to Him. That's the first step. And you've got to have the mind of Christ before you can ever renew your mind. And that only comes by accepting what He's done for you in your life. We invite you, as always, to come. We're going to have my wife is going to play the invitation hymn back there. And we're not going to sing again tonight. I ask you to stand with me. And we're going to have a word of prayer. And she's going to start that. And we're going to let it play through a couple of times. If you need to do business with God down here on the altar, you do that. If you need salvation, I'm down front here trying to help you the best I can. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for that we can renew our minds, that You're the one that does that. And Lord, You've given us the tools to do it with. And Lord, help us to use the tools of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and prayer. And Lord, the local church, these things that You've given us to help us renew our mind. Lord, help us to take advantage of all that You've given to us. And Lord, see that this is by renewing our mind is the only way that we're going to live a life pleasing to You. And as we live a life pleasing to You, it will prove out that Your will, living out Your will in our lives, is good and acceptable and it's perfect. And God, we prove that in the way that we live. And God, we just ask that You'd apply this to our hearts tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.